The text of our message this morning is taken from the Gospel reading, the third chapter of Mark, and emphasis on the fourth verse. And Jesus saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? This is the word of God. You may be seated. Well, in the background of our text this morning, there is a simmering conflict growing between Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees are confronting Jesus with religious life as they understood it and as it had been practiced for some years in Israel. And Jesus shows them a different religious life with different goals and purpose, especially a different understanding of God's law. The gospel writer gives us three short stories to illustrate this one point that Jesus wants to get across in his teaching today. And two of those stories are from Jesus' life, and one of them is a story that Jesus tells from the Old Testament, from the story of the life of David. I'm going to walk us through these three short stories this morning and draw some conclusions at the end. Now, the first story is from the life of Jesus, and it is a story about sacred time. Jesus and the disciples are traveling on the Sabbath day, a time set aside for rest according to the law of Moses. Now, it's not the travel that's the problem. The rabbis had certain rules that they had made up to try to guard the Sabbath day, and they allowed for a certain amount of walking, a certain amount of travel on that day. So that's not the issue going on. They are taking offense that Jesus' disciples, as they walk, reach out along the path they're on and take hold of heads of grain. It's either wheat or barley. It's springtime of the year, and these grains are maturing, and they're taking hold of those, plucking them off. They'd roll them between their hands like this to get the hulls off, and then they would eat the grain. And the Pharisees see this, and they say to themselves, hey, that's work. They're harvesting. That's work, and you can't work like that on the Sabbath day. And that's the point of offense that they are expressing. Rules. There's always rules, aren't there? And sometimes they get confusing and we get different interpretations of them. They can make our lives complicated. And I want to give you a comparison with modern life. And it's kind of a silly comparison, but hopefully it'll help you understand this idea, a little bit of sacred time. Sacred time is the idea that you can do some things at some times and not at others. And I had just such an experience driving in downtown Columbus. There are these signs that say that you can't turn during certain hours of the day and days of the week. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. You get to these things and you can't go, I don't know if it's left or right, probably not, you can't turn left. And it's during the rush hours of traffic. Well, you can imagine being from Illinois and never having seen these signs before. I was like the cow at the new barn door. Okay? I got to that intersection, I looked up, and you've got to read the sign, right? To know what the rule is. So I'm stopped trying to figure out whether I can turn or not. What time of day is it? I'm not sure. Can I make this turn or not? And then, of course, the horns. The horns start in. And certain gestures start to show up as you're trying to figure out what am I breaking the rule or not, right? Sacred time. This is sacred time as it's practiced in Columbus, downtown. The Pharisees are concerned. They want the rules kept. And the rules have a purpose, don't they? There's a reason that laws are made and rules are enforced. The rules downtown are about keeping people safe during those busiest hours of the day. And what I learned was, just drive straight. Don't even read the sign, just drive straight.
Keep going.
And the Pharisees are concerned that Jesus and his disciples aren't following the rules. They don't know the rules as they should. Every good Jew in that day was supposed to know these rules. Jesus doesn't argue with them about whether it's okay to rub your hands together, whether that constitutes harvesting, and getting a bit of grain to eat. But Jesus wants to get across to them that in an emergency, in a time of significant need, life comes first. Life comes first, and that sometimes these rules have to accommodate that life. And so he tells them a second story to get this point across to them about the ceremonial laws that they were trying to keep. And the second story is about sacred space and the sacred bread that was placed there. There was a special table in the Old Testament tabernacle. It stood in the holy place. And on that table, people would place offerings of bread. The priests would carry it in and place it there. And only the priests were supposed to eat this holy bread in that holy place. And yet Jesus points out to the Pharisees that when David was fleeing from King Saul, King Saul wanted to kill David and his men, and he's fleeing from them, and he stops at the tabernacle along the way, and the high priest takes that bread from off of that table and gives it to David and his men because they didn't have any food. They didn't have any food for their journey into the Judean wilderness. The high priest put saving David and his men's lives, preserving them, above that ceremonial law. Jesus shows by this story that in emergency, in substantial need, life comes before the ceremonial laws. And then the gospel writer tells us a third story along these same lines. Another story about holy time, keeping the Sabbath day. Jesus meets a man with a withered hand when he walks into the synagogue. And he proceeds to heal him, even though it is the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees looking on can only see the fact that in their minds, Jesus is doing work. Work on the Sabbath day should not be done. And they can't see that Jesus is restoring this man's life and health. That Jesus is putting life above that ceremonial law that they were so concerned about. They're so wrapped up in that ceremonial law that they can't see God's gift of healing, and so they condemn it. Now, some interpreters would see stories like this in the Gospels, and here's what they would do. They would say, well, God's law contradicts itself. The Sabbath day law contradicts the law about life, which is the fifth commandment. And so it doesn't matter. So long as we keep the important laws, all the rest of it does, it's not important. We can set those lesser laws aside. But friends in Christ, this would be a misunderstanding of God's law. A misunderstanding of God's law and its purpose in our lives. Jesus came, we need to remember, to fulfill all of God's law, to keep every bit of God's law. Jesus is teaching here that keeping of the Sabbath day should not prevent someone from the life and health of eating and healing. Eating and healing are basic in God's gifts for us, for our lives. His people should enjoy and receive such blessings as eating and healing on a daily basis. So it is not as though the law about the Sabbath, The third commandment contradicts the law about life, the fifth commandment. No, we don't see a conflict in the law. We hold to both of these laws as good and as gifts of God. Gifts of God that we should fulfill. That's why we have those Ten Commandments posted out on the corner of our property here, isn't it? We believe in that law. That's important to us. And folks, if you can't be here on Sunday morning, okay, if work or travel or something prevents you, I hope to see you at our Wednesday evening service. That's why we have that during the week, so you can keep the Sabbath day and observe it and hear God's word. Now let's draw some conclusions here as we go. Elsewhere, Jesus and the apostles do teach a helpful distinction between the laws of the Old Testament that we should recognize. It's this distinction between those ceremonial laws and what we call the moral law of God. That's those Ten Commandments. That's a higher law, and here's why. That moral law of God always applies. It always applies. It doesn't go away. It doesn't change. Whereas the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, of the Old Covenant, they were in place for a season, for that time in Israel's history when they needed those regulations and rules about worship. That's why God gave those, for that time. And then when Jesus comes and fulfills the laws, those ceremonial laws in the church have been set aside. And that's why, for example, we don't sacrifice up here on our altar animal sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament. That was an Old Testament ceremonial law, a requirement. We don't do that anymore. Why? Because the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross, has been offered for our forgiveness. And you can't do better. And so that Old Testament ceremonial law is fulfilled and set aside. But the moral law of God continues forever. The Pharisees could not see the difference between the ceremonial laws and the moral laws. And so they were offended at Jesus and his disciples celebrating God's gift of life. Both the moral law of God and the gospel exalt God's gift of life and blessing for us. The law protects that life by setting up rules that keep people from harming from one another. But the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ actually gives us life. It gives us life by God's grace, taking away our sins, giving us the Holy Spirit, and raising us to new life in Christ. As a congregation, as Emmanuel, God wants us to uphold the moral law and to proclaim the gospel, that life-giving gospel, so that all people may have life and blessing from God. And that's why we exist as a congregation. That's why we have Sunday school and Bible school and Bible classes downstairs on Sunday morning and in people's homes, to uphold God's law, to protect life, and to proclaim the life, death, and resurrection by which we have new life, forgiveness, and salvation. Let Jesus focus on life in these three stories, sink into your soul, inspire your hearts, and guide your steps evermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.